Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website. Plus, there is also a Facebook group called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. This is it. This is the milestone 100th episode of Catholic Sports Radio. And unbeknownst to all of you listening, I had actually been making plans and then multiple attempts at getting a really well-known guest for this episode. I was going after someone who is a celebrity, a name known to most, and I got real caught up in the pageantry of having someone famous as the guest for episode 100, and shame on me for that. Thankfully, the Lord saw it fit to keep me on the course that He has obviously set out for Catholic Sports Radio, in that while, yes, there will, I know, be big names on this show, it's that very distraction that we have to not be tempted by. We must keep our eyes on Christ, especially during this Christmas season. Fame will come and go, but the one constant in our lives will always be our Heavenly Father and His unwavering love for us each and every day, no matter who we are or what we do for a living. This is a great time for me to repeat one of the pillars of Catholic Sports Radio, which is that we can appreciate and admire the talents of those that we watch on TV, but we cannot and should not worship them. We worship God and God alone. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the head football coach at Perquimans County High School in North Carolina. He was a successful NCAA head football coach for 21 years, being named Conference Coach of the Year 7 times and being inducted into the Hall of Fame at 4 different universities. As a student athlete, he was the MVP of the Northern Michigan University National Championship Team, which was the first team in any sport to ever go from a 0-10 one-loss record to national champions the next year. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Randy Ori.
Thank you, Bruce. Merry Christmas to you, and it's a pleasure to be here for your 100th show.
Thank you, Randy. You are in North Carolina, as I mentioned, but listeners, check this out. Randy has had coaching jobs in 6 other states: Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Kentucky, and New York. So lucky 7, I guess. Where were you actually born and raised, though, Randy?
I was born and raised in a small town in Upper Michigan called Ironmount, Michigan. It's located literally 2 hours north of Green Bay, Wisconsin. So we get a lot of snow and a lot of cold, but it's a great little small community and a very tight-knit community. And I had a great experience growing up there.
What about your faith life? Born and raised Catholic, I assume?
Yes, my grandmother and grandfather came over here, and they basically, you know, started everything. And then my parents both are Catholic and were born, raised in Iron Mountain, baptized at St. Mary and St. Joseph Church. I was born and raised there, baptized there. So were my brothers and sisters. And we all stay very active in the church there. Even attended St. Mary and St. Joseph Elementary Catholic School.
For some reason, I'm picturing that it was a busy childhood for you. When did you start adding sports into the mix?
Sports were real early. My father owned a business, and we lived upstairs of that business. And my father's rule was if I was not doing something related to school, I had to do something at the job, and I didn't want to work in the business at all. So I did every sport possible. I did anything you could do. I played football, basketball, baseball. I was in a track. We even had ski jumping in Iron Mountain, obviously. Actually, if you look it up, it has one of the largest ski jumps in the world, Pine Mountain. And water ski show in the summer. So I stayed very, very active in athletics as much as I could.
So how did your faith life and sports life come together the more that you grew in both of those?
You know, that one's a as I look back now, a whole different growth, you know, no different than I think any person athletically or just emotionally or physically, how you grow. And what happened when I was young is, you know, just like any young person, you take a lot of things for granted and you blow a lot of things off. And, you know, we'd go to church, but, you know, that was kind of like a check done thing and move on. And I think that as I've grown, I've obviously matured a whole lot more into my faith and have gotten a lot closer to Jesus Christ and have been, it has been a huge part of my life, but it has grown to become a huge part. It wasn't like that when I was a child, and the older I got, the more I saw that hole in my heart had to be filled, and Jesus was the only one that could do it.
So what did that look like when you were young? And it sounds like you had family around you who were providing some faith influence. You can elaborate on who and how much in your family you were being influenced faith-wise, but it sounds like, as you said, like so many other kids, you were also kind of looking at like, yeah, that's great for Sundays, but boy, look at all these other fun sports I could do.
Right. And you know, your pats on the back end up being what you do Monday through Saturday. But my father was in the Knights of Columbus, and he distributed communion to the local nursing homes. He also was an usher and did those type of things in the church. My mom taught CCD classes. My brother and I were altar boys. But probably one of the biggest influences as a child growing up was my grandmother, pure Italian, born in Italy, moved over here. One of the smartest people I've ever been around, kindest and most giving human beings I've ever known, and one of the toughest. And she would go to church. She lived one block away from the Catholic Church, never learned to drive, only made it through sixth grade, but was just awesome human being. And I loved being around her. I would go sometimes from school over to have lunch with her during my lunch days, just to sit down with grandma and listen to her talk. But long story short, she went to church every day, daily mass. She did all the priest's garments. She would bring back to her house and wash them and iron them and bring them back, and prayed the rosary every day. Always told me how she was praying for me. And she would always try to get me to come to church with her. Every once in a while, I'd say, okay, let's go, and, you know, in the summertime or something during the week. And she was a huge influence, and she was a very special lady. And that was I always look at back now, like God gave me that to really open my eyes as a child, because, you know, you don't listen to your parents as well as you should, and you don't listen to other people. But grandma really opened my eyes a lot.
Well, and I'll bet you, too, that simply because of your age, that as influential as your grandmother was in your faith life, you were probably really drawn by the excitement of sports and thinking like, hey, grandma, this is great, but this over here, these sports I'm participating in, these are even better.
Sure. And you know, the athletic part of it, that's where as a child and even as a young adult, when I got into high school, you know, that becomes your God, you know, your athletics, your newspaper clippings, you're being all this and you're all that, and everybody's patting you on the back. And, you know, I was really pushing, and I did everything I could so I could go to college and play football. And I had that blessing. But, you know, you put other things more important. And sometimes I think that that's where we fall into that trap, is we start reading our own press clippings and we start believing in how good we are and really don't realize that God gave us those talents and God gave us those abilities. And throughout my sporting career, I went from praying to win games and then praying to not get hurt, because by the time I got to college, I was the smallest guy on the team, to praying, you know, to do well, to be able to be a good teammate, to eventually praying that what I did would be a glow in God's eyes. Wow. And so you go from all about me to it's all about showing God to other people. And I think that's, if I took my whole athletic career from being a little league baseball player and what I was hoping and praying for then, and I think we talked once about this, is the, you hope it's that genie in the bottle. I want to hit a home run, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually going to the point where, Lord, help me today show your presence and someone follow you because of me. That's a whole different outlook on it. And I think that when I said earlier about that hole, that void, it never got filled by winning. It never got filled by accolades, mm-hmm. Your rings, your watches, your trophies, your press clippings. As soon as you get one, you want another one. Or, mm-hmm. Some people, we call it that drug. It's your drug. It's your high. You win a game, and it got to a point in my career as a coach, winning wasn't enough. We'd win a game, and all I did was take a breath and go back to work and start again, because it never was enough. And the lows of losing were so low, and there was no high anymore of winning. It was expected. It's what you do. It's what you had to do. So I think that once I was able to flip, I'll call it that, into my heart and into my mind, but I'll say God flipped it.
Yeah.
It made a big difference in my outlook, and it made a big difference in how I coached. It made a big difference on how I played and how I reacted to the things that went on around me.
Well, back in your student athlete days, you got a scholarship to play football at Northern Michigan University. And as I said in the intro, went from going winless one season to being national champions the next year. Just talk about dealing with that roller coaster, those highs and lows, as you just mentioned, in terms of your psyche and maybe even your prayer life during those two particular football seasons.
Well, the first season, not winning a game. Let's start with this. As an athlete, not winning the national championship, that wasn't the highlight. When you ask anybody on that team, they're going to tell you the highlight really is no one in any sport, any place, any time has lost every game and the next year won the national championship in any sport. It doesn't matter what sport you pick. So it is an accomplishment that only someone might tie someday, but nobody's ever been able to do it. So that is kind of a neat accolade to have, But more importantly, I think what it was it was one of those blessings that God allowed to have happen, that the year before, it was the same guys doing the same thing, but we didn't have it all together, And the next year, we really had, I always said that the bonding is what helped us win, and the winning didn't help us bond. We were so low that year we never won that nobody would even talk to you on campus. You were like the worst of the worst, because we were terrible. We were the worst team in the country. And all of a sudden, the next year, we become the best team in the country. And everybody's your friend. And I think there was a real wide opening with a lot of our team who remembered the year before. And, I think that was a big change in my life. I'll tell you two quick things. One, that became a big change in my heart, where I went, all these people are really fickle, because a year before we didn't win a football game, and the next year we're national champs, and all of a sudden I'm everybody's buddy that I wasn't last year,
Yeah.
And so your friends are really your friends, and you figured that out real quick. But the other thing was, is after we won the national championship, that night is the first night I talked to my wife. We knew each other only just a little, and we sat down and actually talked that night. And a year later, we were dating, and a year and a half later, we were married. So Not only did I have that opportunity, God blessed us, my wife and I, to be able to find each other too, on the same day. So It was a very unique, wild day and a wild experience to be a part of. But I think at that point, that's really when I got to that point, I realized the people who really did love me were the ones that loved me last year when we didn't win a game. And I think that that, and then I realized also God has been with me through this whole thing. And I told you the one line in my life when I seemed to want to do it myself and I wanted to try to do everything because I was big enough and fast enough and strong enough and good enough. It's like pushing a car uphill. And when I would let God drive and I'd let God do the work, it's like pushing it downhill. Mm-hmm. And that has really been the flow of my life. I thank him so much and so many times for the blessings he has given us. My wife and I have been married for 43 years and I got a beautiful family. And those are the things that really matter. But it took me a while of walking on the path and sometimes going off and getting back on and going off and getting back on for me to realize what really was important. And I really am blessed that he allowed me to see both ends of that spectrum.
Well, listeners, last week's episode, you heard Nico Palazzetti say how he had a career-ending injury that changed the course of his life from college football player to strength and conditioning coach, something that he remains grateful for. In Randy's case, obviously, the dream of going on to a career playing professional football was very real, given what you just heard. But that's not the way the story goes, as evidenced by my not mentioning any time in the NFL when I first introduced him. But before I have him walk us through that, every week on Catholic Sports Radio, you hear me saying that I don't have any sponsors and I don't get any income from doing this show. And so as a result, all the expenses have to come out of my pocket. On last week's episode, I cited two more costs that I was looking at. So those were the two latest examples of the costs that I'm referring to when you hear me every week refer to the financial components that come with me doing all of this. I had also given out other examples way back on episodes 53 through 60, and then another on episode 67 with a clarification to it 1 week later on episode 68. The bottom line is, if you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, and you see value in everything I put into this and deliver, and you believe in this spiritual resource that I'm leading, I would greatly appreciate your support. There is a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There is no drop-down menu of amounts, no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Regardless of which method you use, I do truly appreciate everyone who contributes, and I will even happily say your name on Catholic Sports Radio, as you heard me do as recently as episodes 98 and 97, or give you a public thanks via social media. Or, of course, you can choose to keep it anonymous, as some have opted for. I would greatly appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Now, Randy, go ahead and share with the audience what I was starting to allude to about your plans to go on to play professional football versus what you started to say actually did happen for you.
Well, as I had said, my wife and I had met in college and got married, and we had the opportunity. I was not, and you know, now at my age, it's easier to admit, but I wasn't good enough to make it in the NFL. And I thought I was, and I thought that'd be my career, and I thought that's what I'd be doing with the rest of my life. But that God had a different plan, and he had a much better plan, and he always does. And I had the opportunity to work as a graduate assistant coach and get a master's degree.
Wow.
My wife is a very smart young lady, not because she married me. She's a very smart young lady. And she got a master's degree also through the health and physical education department. So we went back to school together working on our master's degree. And I thought, well, we'll give this coaching thing a try. And then my daughter, Jennifer, was born. And right at that same time, I got my first opportunity to be a college football coach. Mm. And Connie and I said, well, let's give this a try. You know, let's see how it goes. And I was working at Michigan Tech University, which is in the upper part of Michigan. For those of you that don't know where that is, they get 300 inches of snow a year.
Whoa.
Yeah. Look it up. It's crazy. But one of the best engineering schools in the country, Division II football program, and I had an opportunity to work there as their head track coach and assistant in football. And then I was able to move around at a couple different places. And as our family grew, as my opportunities grew, I went from an assistant coach to a coordinator, from a coordinator to a head coach. And I was given many blessings and many opportunities. And then, you know, eventually was able to start working into what I wanted to develop into a program. But along the way, man, there's so many people that help you. There's so many that assisted me and helped both Connie and I, whether it be just with encouragement or being one of those coaches that you watch and you write down notes on how they walk even, you know. I mean, we had it all. We had, you know, we've had some wonderful people to be around and wonderful people to mentor us. And as we got older, we hope that we're able to do the same for others.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that you say that as an assistant coach, you had the opportunity to work with many Christian men and saw how they handled their families as well as their coaching duties. And that as a result, when you became a head coach, it was an opportunity to make a difference in young men's lives and incorporate the message of Jesus Christ to them at the same time they were playing football. I'd just love to hear you talk about that a little bit more.
Well, one of the things when you're an assistant coach, I learned when I first became a graduate assistant is I actually had a book, and the front of the book was everything I would do when I become the head coach. And in the back of the book is everything I would not do when I become the head coach. And you start putting notes in there all the time, because when you become a head coach, you can open it up and start looking at it. As an assistant coach, I thought, oh, everything that's in there that I said I was going to do is what I would end up doing. And you end up going to the back of the book and looking more at the things that you thought, I don't know why he's doing this, but you realize these things were really working.
Wow.
One of the things I felt was really important, and again, this was God-driven, was I put together a philosophy that I felt when I recruited, when I hired coaches, everything involved with the program, your managers, your trainers, everyone has to be on the same page. And I always felt if we didn't have the right philosophy, we couldn't be on the same page. So I set up, again, I didn't create this one. It was, you know, a lot of people put it together and helped me. But basically, we said your priorities are going to be with your faith, your family, your education, your football team, then yourself. Hmm. And that was our pillars. That's what we said our program is going to be designed around. So everything we do has to have that in mind. So you're going to always know what our priorities are, what we are going to want our young men when we recruited them. I've been blessed to have some great athletes. I've probably put over 20 people in the NFL from colleges that I've coached, and we went in with that philosophy. I recruited with that philosophy. When I talked to mom and dad, when I talked to the young men, when I hired coaches, everything had to do with this is going to be how we want everybody in the program to be living their life. So, and again, obviously because I was the head coach, I felt I had to be the leader in that. But I wanted to make sure everybody understood that it's going to be your faith, your family, your education, your team, then yourself. And we had a lot of buy-in with young men. A lot of young men turned their life to Christ during the programs that I was able to be a part of. Mm. A lot of men were encouraged to continue what they had. It was just an awesome thing to see develop. And God blessed us with a lot of young, talented players who had opportunities after college, and we had a real good run as a head coach. It was a lot of fun, as long as I could keep it in perspective, because even as a head coach, sometimes I got it wrong, you know. And I look back now, and in the days I got it wrong, boy, I can't turn the clock back, but I'm glad I got it back on the right road. That's what I can say.
Yeah. Well, in mentioning those five pillars that you built your programs on, I want to mention that, you know, you went out of your way to say that some of those men drew closer to Jesus Christ. And you, I'm interested in hearing you talk more about, you developed an FCA as well as a chapel at each college that you worked at. I'm sure that had to help.
Well, it helped a lot. It helped a lot. And remember now, I'm working at public institutions.
Yeah.
I'm working at public colleges, okay? So how I had to figure a way to do this, but I always kept that philosophy as my philosophy. That was what I went in for a job interview with. Hmm. I said, this is my philosophy. If you want me to come to this college, this is how I'm going to handle my life. This is, when I hire coaches, these are people I want to be, these type of people in our program, and we want to recruit people like this. And every place I interviewed and every place that I talked to athletic directors and presidents, they all loved the idea. So I never had one person balk at that, at that philosophy.
Tremendous.
But at the same time, I had to be able to, I'll say it, maneuver it in a public setting.
Sure.
So what we did simply was I had a chaplain. I had a chaplain come in, and he would, God provided at every one of the schools a different man each time who was able to come in and put together chapels before the games. FCA, and we called it different things, but basically FCA type things at one day a week, maybe where the young men would go. A lot of times, because you're in college football, we'd have study halls with our kids, but we'd allow them to go to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting instead of the study hall, so that that would give them, you could go to study hall or you go to the meeting. That's your choice.
Okay.
Giving those options, but at the same time allowing. We had a chapel. It was never mandatory with one of the best teams I ever coached. And this is one we were at Saginaw Valley State University, Saginaw, Michigan. And I had probably 20 guys play in the NFL just from those couple. I was there 9 years, those teams. Mm. But anyway, the chapel, we would have 95 to 98% of the team going to the chapel.
Wow.
And it was not mandatory. It was never mandatory. Mm. And that same chaplain, his name's Pat Steffen, that same chaplain today, now this is 20 years ago, today, he has, once COVID started, there's been a, it's been tough on a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he decided to open that up again. And for those years that people were in that program going to those chapels, there were things that he would do. And he opened it up with Zoom meetings. Mm. And now once every 2 weeks, he gets grown men, 20 to 40 year old men, going on a Zoom meeting, talking about Jesus Christ, talking about what the Lord has done in their life, sometimes they're talking about some hard things going on in their life, and everybody's praying for each other. And it's so awesome to see we're young men, now grown men with families, and the kids running around in the Zoom meeting.
That's beautiful.
So these are the type of things that just stick with you, that go on forever.
Yeah.
And I think that it all encompassed, because these young men learned so many tremendous things in those 4 years of college that they've carried on for the rest of their life.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. As exciting as it always is to talk about sports, and in your case, football, not to mention something like the 0-10 to national champion story, I know that you are even more proud of the family that you have. If you would just fill the listeners in on what that has grown to in 2020.
Well, we are tremendously blessed. Connie and I have been married for 43 years. We have a daughter, Jennifer, who is married with 4 grandchildren. We have, with Kylie, Kenzie, Zach, and Kira. We have my son, Bobby, who lives in Tampa, Florida, and he's married and has 2 children, Rainin and Zeke. And my son, Tony, lives in the upper part of Michigan. He's one still up there where I came from. And my son, Nikki, lives in Chicago, and his wife, they just had a baby a year ago, Layla. So we are blessed with 7 healthy, beautiful grandchildren, 4 children who all love the Lord and know the Lord. And all of them have had the opportunity to go to college and get college educations.
Fantastic.
So we've been blessed. We've been tremendously blessed.
And just share, as we close here with the audience, about the prayer life that you and your wife share.
About 15 years ago, Connie and I went to a local priest, put on this couple seminar, talked about praying together, and then we later talked about it. And it's something that we've been doing pretty much every day. Somehow we connect. Even when I was out recruiting, I would call her and we do our prayers, and we have a prayer book where we will enter people's names that are going through something that we want to specifically pray for. And we've been able to do this every day for the last probably 15, 18 years. And that has really helped us. And in this COVID time, we're not able to visit our family and do as many things as we like to getting out. So what we've done is decided to sit down, have a cup of coffee in the mornings, especially Saturday and Sunday mornings. And she'll read the Bible and we'll talk about it. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll have an insight that she didn't have, or she'll have one that I didn't have. And we're just slowly going through chapter by chapter and reading it together. And it has really helped not only our relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's helped in our relationship with each other. Probably the nicest thing I have ever heard my wife say was just recently, she's never been more happy. And that's a pretty cool thing to be married that long and have your wife say that to you.
And how those of us that have not been married for 43 years can only hope to aspire to that. So thank you for sharing that. And Randy, thank you for coming on Catholic Sports Radio. It's been really great having you on the show.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. And to you and your family as well, despite how spread out everyone is and the circumstances being what they are, unfortunately. And listeners, as you know, we always close with a prayer. And since we have a coach as the guest on this week's episode, we'll do one from the National Catholic Coaches Association, and we'll do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Lord, help me be a servant to others. May my example show my players the love of Christ in every situation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.